I want you to turn to Genesis. Week before last, I shared a message on the power of blessing. God's heart is to bless His children. Amen? And we looked at the first thing that God did in Genesis after He created man and woman was to bless them. He wants us to have a life of blessing. We also noted that Jesus, as He was ascending into heaven, leaving His followers, what was the last thing He was doing? Even as He was ascending, He was blessing His followers. And God's blessing is still upon us. And He calls us to speak blessing on one another. Amen? It's powerful when we bless our children. We talked about that a little bit last time. It's powerful when we bless our husband or wife, or we bless our friends or bless our family members. It's powerful when we bless our city. There's scriptures on that. And it's powerful when we bless our nation. So church, speak the blessing of God on everyone you meet. One of the things I love doing in Kotlik, they don't have regular roads in Kotlik. They have a boardwalk throughout the whole town. It's a boardwalk. And it's just enough, wide enough that 2 4-wheelers can pass. No vehicles, just 4-wheelers or snow machines. And so when you get out and you walk through town, you're going to meet people. And so it was wonderful. Pastor Jimmy and I, he'd say, come on, let's go and take a walk. So we would walk through the town. And we'd meet little kids playing, and we'd meet teenagers, we'd meet adults. And one of the things I would do, we'd talk to them for a minute and invite them to the services we were going to have Sunday and Monday. And we would, before we left, the last thing I would do, I'd look at them. I'd shake their hands sometime, but I would always tell them, God bless you. Why? Because it makes a difference in their lives. We talked about that. But week before last, we didn't have time to go into depth in looking at the Genesis blessings. And so today I want to take time just to look at the Genesis blessings. I really... When I did the message week before last, I thought, you know, I knew Mitch was going to be preaching that last Sunday, and so I really hadn't planned on doing a series. But God stirred my heart to come back and to go deeper into this. And so I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26, 27, and 28. 26, 27, and 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image. There's a reference in scripture here in the first chapter of Genesis to God being a triune God. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. Church, we are image bearers of God. When people look at us, we're image bearers of God. He created him, male and female, He created them. Look at verse 28. Then God blessed them. The first thing He does, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. There's a key here, and I want us to look at several of these things, and I want us to just to go a little deeper. Now, the word barach in the Hebrew is the word for created. And it means that God brought into existence from nothing. God brought this universe. He brought everything into existence from nothing. That's the God we serve. And church, if you need something now, He is still the creator. He can still bring things into existence to meet you at the point of your need. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Scripture says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." I want you to think about this for just a moment. I want you to picture God in the garden. He stoops down. He gets some dust of the earth, some good old dirt. And he forms a body. He forms a man. And here's this lifeless body laying there that God has formed. And he bends down. And I just picture God almost like CPR. It says he breathed the breath of life into man. And he became a living soul. Church, there's no room for evolution in God's word. There's not. You say, "Pastor, are you getting political?" No, I'm not getting political. I'm getting biblical. Church, we live in a culture today that is anti-God. We live in a culture today that is against many things in Scripture. And so pastors are accused of being political. I've been accused of being political. Church, I'm not being political, I'm being biblical. There's a mandate on men and women of God when the culture is going astray and teaching things against the Word of God, that we stand up and address those things and say, "That's not the truth. This is what the Word of God declares." I've had people leave our church because of that. And I'm sorry, but they're deceived. A pastor has to preach the word. Amen? Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word." He didn't say, "Get in the pulpit and tell some cutesy little story and tell everybody to have a good day." And so I'm going to preach the word today. Some of it is directly contrary to our culture. And I'm not trying to condemn our culture, but I'm trying to say, God's word, when we're obedient to it, brings the blessings of God. So if we don't tell our nation how God says to live, then we're welcoming what? The destruction of our nation, right? The first thing I want to address here is the fact that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, You formed my inward parts, for you covered, excuse me, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Just as sure as God had an encounter with Adam, God had an encounter with us. He brought forth life. And you are a special creation of God. Our children are being bombarded in school saying, "Oh, we evolved from some pre-existing goo that was struck by lightning and some amoeba turned into a fish and crawled out on the shore and turned into a monkey and it turned into you." It takes a lot more to believe that than it does that there's a God who designed all of this and created us with a plan and a purpose. Amen? Tell your kids that they're special, that God created them for a purpose, and that they have a destiny that God wants to fulfill through their lives. That's where our self-worth should come from. Our culture says our self-worth comes from our name being up in lights, or how much money we have in the bank, or how many toys we have. God's word says your self-worth comes because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The God of the universe created you, and you're special, and he's got a plan for your life. I love that. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." I love that phrase. In the original language, it was used for someone who would come alongside. And it was even used in a military sense as someone of the same rank that would come alongside, equal, to help you win the battle. That's what God intends for marriage to be. Amen? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. This is marriage. God brought her to man. Marriage is God's idea. Marriage is a good thing. Amen? Our culture has gotten away. We can just live together, do whatever. But there needs to be that commitment. Commitment. And we go into marriage with a commitment, believing that it's going to be permanent. And I know that God's word allows for divorce for certain things. But God's intent, his heart, is that every marriage would be healed of their wounds. Every marriage would be strengthened. Every marriage goes through difficult things, except mine. We've had a perfect marriage. But God intends for it to be forever. And we live in a culture that today is really anti-marriage. And I want to tell our young people, don't begin a relationship outside of God's word, outside of God's designed marriage. Another verse I want to share with you is Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain." Now listen to this. "Who formed it to be inhabited." Let that sink in. Earth is a very, very unique planet. It's the only one like it in our solar system. And there are scientists that speculate there are other Earth-type planets far, far away, but we don't know positively. But we do know that this planet is unique. 70% of the surface is water. We have to have the water for life. The exact distance from the sun is the perfect distance so that it's not too hot and not too cool, so that life can exist. Think about the 24-hour period that God's designed. Have you ever thought about that? Our day, a 24-hour day, it's perfect for man. It gives us time to sleep, time to regenerate, time to rest. It gives us time during the day to accomplish tasks and what we need to do. It's all in God's design. The moon affects our oceans and our tides. It causes a natural rhythm, keeping our ecosystem healthy. Tides also help prevent flooding and help prevent droughts. The tides stir the ocean to help keep it clean and balanced, and also help balance the temperature around the planet. God created a special place, and he created it to be inhabited. He created it for us, church. I want you to think about that. Because we live in a culture that has gone too far, and they worship Mother Earth, they worship Mother Nature, they worship all the animals, they want to put all the animals ahead of mankind and treat man like he's fleas on the back of a dog. Hey, I'm speaking truth. They want to have a less population And God says, man is special. I created him. He's different. He communes with me, and I love him. I talk to him. I guide him, direct him, and I created a special place just for him. Amen. The first blessing that we looked at in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 has threefold blessings. First, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Second, he says, fill the earth and subdue it. And third, have dominion over all things. And I want to look at those three things a little deeper. First of all, be fruitful and multiply. This is not only a blessing, church, it's a command. Do you see that? Be fruitful and multiply. That's God's design. That's God's plan. That's why God has a marriage. And I want to, again, I'm not trying to be political, but I'm trying to be biblical. You cannot be pro-abortion and be biblical. Now, if you disagree with me, you come see me and I'll sit down with a lot of scriptures and I'll show you. But even this one scripture, be fruitful and multiply. It's a command of God. And also, church, we can't have a homosexual marriage and a homosexual... Now you're saying, well, Pastor Boy, you're really getting political today. No, I'm not. I'm getting biblical. You cannot have a homosexual relationship and multiply. You can't do it. Two women or two men can't have children. And by the way, a man can't have children. And by the way, the scripture says there's only two sexes. There's male and female. There's not 900 other sexes. And I'm probably getting some people upset today. But I'm going to preach the word of God because it brings the blessing of God upon us. And if our nation is going to be turned around, if our nation is going to be blessed, we have to speak the truth. We have to stand for the truth. And it's not that we hate people that are caught up in this other ideology and this other lifestyle. We love them. We want to see them come to know Jesus. But at the same time, we can't condone it. It doesn't line up with God's perfect design. Amen. Our nation doesn't treat children like the precious gift that they are. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. In the original language, it means they're like an heirloom gift from God to you. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Our culture says they're a nuisance. We don't want to be bothered with them. So let's just murder them in our mother's wombs. And then look what it says. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. I love that. I read that years ago, and when Melinda and I got married and we had children, I said, I'm going to take my kids and I'm going to aim them at God's best. God, I want you to direct their lives. I want them to hit the bullseye. I want them to pierce the heart of the enemy. Amen. And that's how we raise our kids. We raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And we cherish them. Since Roe versus Wade, we have murdered 63 million children in our mother's womb. Think about all the lives that have been destroyed because of this. And I'm thankful that it's been reversed at the Supreme Court. But church, there's a lot of work to do. Our state especially has some of the worst abortion laws on the books in the nation. We need to pray. If we want to be blessed, we've got to line up with the Word of God. So we've got to pray for our nation. We got to stand for what's right. We got to teach the Word of God. Imagine the great people that we are not blessed with today. 63 million people. Think of the great leaders in government that are never here. Think about just our firefighters and our police officers and just the great mothers and fathers that aren't here. And you think about the great artists, the great musicians that we don't have. It's a devastating loss. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, God says, He hates hands that shed innocent blood. And in Exodus chapter 21, verse 22, we see evidence of about what God thinks about a child in its mother's womb. He says, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. That's powerful. Church, there's no doubt if you study God's word that he considers life beginning at conception. And he cherishes life in the womb. He has a plan. After the great flood, we see God reaffirming this blessing. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 says, So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the word subdue that we talked about that's in this text, the idea, church, is to master and to care for. Now that's important. To bring order to and harmony. So God didn't create the earth for us to just destroy, to not care about it. We should care. We should be good stewards. But at the same time, we were not created for the earth, but the earth was created for us. So we don't worship it. And we are called to subdue it, to care for it. This blessing is still intended for us. And we can have a pleasant, successful, and fruitful life. Amen? In verse 28 again, I want us to look at it this way. It says then God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Church, God intends for us to live in dominion. One of the saddest things that I encounter is Christians who have the Eeyore syndrome. They're living under a cloud that rains every day. Some of you are thinking, that sounds like our summer. You know who I'm talking about. How you doing? Oh, I've got this wrong and this and this and this. And oh, things, life just stinks and then you die. In church, according to Scripture, it says, Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday, we celebrated Bob Messenger, 93 years old. The Sunday before he went to be with Jesus, he was at the back door shaking everybody's hand, welcoming into the house of the Lord. He loved God. He loved people. He was a life well lived. And he died in victory. Amen. That's what God intends for us. And not that we won't have battles, but you can't have victory unless you have a battle. Amen. So as we enter into the battles of life, we say, God's promised me dominion. He's promised me that we shall subdue in this world, that we're going to live in victory, and we're going to overcome through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what God's called us to. That's the blessing he's talking about. When Jesus was living on this earth, he had total dominion. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 7, listen to this. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. That's total dominion. Amen? Some of you fishermen are thinking, I'd like a little of that. Jesus lived in that dominion in this world. And we see it again. Another time, Jesus told Peter, he says, "I want you to go fish, and I want you to catch the first fish there. It's going to have a coin in its mouth to pay our taxes." That's dominion. Amen? That's what God gave to Adam in the beginning, but Adam sinned. And through the fall of man, Adam lost that dominion. But church, when we come to Jesus, we welcome him to restore, and we begin to reclaim the victory and the dominion that God intends us to live in. Are you thankful for that? In Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, it says, "Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." That's living in dominion. I love that. We see Jesus had dominion over the elements. In John chapter 2, when he's at the wedding in Cana, when he turned the water into wine. In Genesis chapter 1, again, we have another blessing, and I want us to end with this blessing. And really, to understand this blessing, we need to go to Romans chapter 4, verse 16, and start there. Scripture says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace." Listen to this. "So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now, God told Abraham he was going to be a great nation, and God fulfilled that. Even to this day, the nation of Israel is growing, and the Arab nations are growing. And both of those trace their ancestry back to Abraham. But that is his biological seed. But we see here in Romans that God is also talking about the promises given to Abraham for us all, for also his spiritual seed. He is the father of us all. He is the prototype of a life lived in faith. And we trace him, our faith, our life of faith, back to his original walk with God. So we are all children in that sense of Abraham, spiritually. So what does that mean? It means the promises that God gave Abraham, not only for his biological seed, but also for his spiritual seed. So turn to somebody and tell them, the blessing of Abraham is for you. Now, Abraham had two biological children. He had Ishmael with his maid Hagar because at first they didn't trust God. That's a long story. But Isaac was the promised child. And we see that both those became great nations. But I want us to look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country.'" So God's calling him here. And there's a call of God upon all of our lives. Amen? And what is he calling him out of his country? Our country is the things that we're familiar with. Believe me, when I went to Pakistan, I knew I wasn't at home in the USA. I didn't understand the language. I didn't understand the gestures. I didn't understand the culture. They were precious people. They were inviting. But I knew I wasn't in Kansas anymore, Toto. Amen? And that's what God's calling him out of. He's saying, the things that you're familiar with, the things that you trust in, the culture that you're in, I am calling you out of that. And church, we need to be called out of our culture and line up with the Word of God. Then he calls him from his family. The people that make you feel at home and comfortable, the people you trust. And God's saying there's something even more important than your family. There's someone else that we truly need to trust in. He's calling Abram to himself. And from your father's house, the place where we feel most comfortable and safe and secure. Church, the most secure place is our father's house. Amen. It's him that we trust in. It's him that brings security to our lives. And then God calls him to a land that I will show you. I want you to notice this. Whenever God calls us out of things and into other things, he already has something he's promising us. Amen? He said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, I have something better for you. So answer the call and follow him. And that's what happened to Abram. Now look at verse 2. I will make you a great nation. That's what he told Abraham. Right? But I want to bring it into us today. What's another way of looking at that? Multiplying life. God wants our life to be full. He wants our life to be fulfilling. He wants our life to fulfill all of his plans and his purposes. And God still multiplies life. Next, he says, I will bless you. That means to multiply our resource. I am so thankful. And I'm for what God does. It's so miraculous. Church, if you trust God wholeheartedly, he will bless your finances. He will bless your home and your family, your work, everything you put your hand to. That's what he's promised to do. And then he says, and make your name great. Some of you are going, my name up in lights. That's not what it's talking about, sorry. What God's saying here is that when people see your life, they're going to see God's hand on you. And your name, your testimony is going to be that God is blessing you. God's working in your life. God's working through your life. That's what he's talking about. Next it says, and you shall be a blessing. I love that. When Melinda's mad at me, I go to her and say, God's word says I'm a blessing. You've got to receive me as a blessing. Think about that. You shall be a blessing. How do you know that you're living in the will of God for your life? Because he's going to be using your life to bless others. That's the indicator that you're living right with Jesus. You're going to be a blessing. Next, in verse 3, he says, I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. Now, that's a powerful truth for the nation of Israel. And we could go into a whole study of what God's word says about Israel and how that we are to pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for God's people. and that God is going to bless them. And according to Scripture, there's going to be a great revival. There are going to be Jewish people that are going to come to know that Jesus is the Messiah in the last days. Even now, it is happening. Even now in Israel. So, church, don't be anti-Semitic, because it's not biblical. It's not. But also, this is a promise for us spiritually. Those who bless you are going to be blessed. When we bless one another, guess what? It brings blessing on ourselves. Amen? It happens to me all the time. I'll get excited. You know, my love language is giving. I love to give things. And so I'll get this great idea, just like with Pastor Jimmy. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to bless him. I want to bless him. And the Lord just told me to write out a check, give him $2,000 and bless him. But you know what? I got home to the church, and somebody had sent in a check to the church for $13,000 during that week. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. I thought I was doing something awesome. I'm going to bless Brother Jimmy. And I'm sitting there. I get home the next day, and guess what? Kim comes in. She's been working on the finances, or Liz, I think it was, one of them came in and said, you're not going to believe this. Look, we got a check for $13,000 this week through the mail. Praise God. That enables us to build the kingdom. It enables us. So when you bless your brother or sister in Christ, guess what? You can't help it. You're going to be blessed. Amen? I blessed some of the pastors while I was there. I took some money out of my billfold and I gave it to Pastor Ian and thanked him and just prayed for him and blessed him, told him he's doing a great job in Ammonic, and gave him $200. Guess what? Somebody handed me a check later for $300. And I'm not saying that we give to get. I'm saying that when you have a heart to bless others, it's natural. It's the way God, it's His economy of things. When you bless others, you're going to be blessed. Amen? And look what else it says. And I will curse him. Notice he was talking about the privilege for all of us to bless one another. But now he says, the curse, I'll curse him who curses you. And who is that him? It's Satan. All of cursing originates with him. And one day we know he's going to meet his end in the bottomless pit. And the verse goes on, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I want you to receive that today. When you go to school tomorrow, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go into Freddy's or Walmart, wherever you're going, and you meet people, I want you to picture yourself as being a blessing. I want you to picture yourself. I want to read that again. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The initial interpretation of that it was going to be through this line that Jesus the Messiah was going to come. But it also is a blessing on our lives, that whoever we meet, because Jesus is living in us, Christ in us, is the hope of glory. And if you have the attitude, Jesus is in me, and Jesus is a blessing in my life, and I want that blessing to flow through my life, then wherever we go, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, wherever we are, we need to think, I'm a blessing to the entire world because Jesus, the Creator, the Son of the living God, the Christ, the Messiah, He dwells within me. And His blessing flows through my life according to the Word of God. So guess what? You're a blessing to this church because you're here. You're a blessing to this community because you live here. You're a blessing to this state because you live here. You're a blessing to this nation because you live here. Amen. So let's go and let's be a blessing. Let's receive the blessings from Genesis. Amen. All you younger couples, you can have some more kids and build the church. But let's be a blessing. I want you to stand with me, and I want the worship team to come. I want to ask you today, do you believe those blessings are for you? Are you going to live in those blessings? While I was in worship, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. We're going to have our prayer team at the front and around the back of the auditorium if you'd like prayer in closing today. But one of the things the Lord impressed on me while we were praying and worshiping is that there are some of you here today that your self-worth is not what God says it is supposed to be. Some of you look at yourself and you think, well, I'm not attractive, or I'm not intelligent as somebody else, or I don't have the gifts or the skills. And the enemy tries to beat you down. The enemy tries to ridicule and mock you and cause you to think that you don't have any self-worth, that you're not precious to God, that you're not precious to anyone. And so the first thing I want to ask you to do, if that's you today, if you struggle with your self-worth, you struggle with seeing yourself as a special creation to God, you struggle in believing that God has an awesome plan for your life, I want you to find one of our prayer team today. And I want you to break that off, because that's a lie from the enemy. Our self-worth is because God created us just as special as Adam. Have you ever thought that God could have created and filled the whole earth the way that He created Adam and Eve? God didn't have to give that privilege of procreation to us. But He chose to do that. God wanted us to know what it's like to hold a newborn baby and see that life. He wanted us to be able to tell the next generation what God had done for us. He wanted us to see them grow and mature and become mighty men and women of God. Night before last, I was over at Mitch and Jasper's, and Mitch was getting ready to go on his trip to Texas, and I was watching Alethea, and we were watching cartoons. And she was sitting there next to me. And about every 3 or 4 minutes, she was right next to me, but she'd turn and she'd smile and she'd put her arms around me and she'd give me a big hug. And then she'd sit back down and start watching cartoons. And then another 3 or 4 or 5 minutes would go by, and she'd look up at me again. And she'd put her arms around me. She'd squeeze as tight as she could. And she'd just smile. That's what God wants us to experience. And that's the way He wants us to be with Him. To learn from that child, to be childlike. And we need to stop every few minutes and just give God a big hug. Tell Him that we love Him. Thank Him for what He's done. Amen. If you have a prayer need, find one of our prayer team this morning. We're going to sing another worship song, and we'll give you an opportunity to come. Whatever need that you have today, bring it to Jesus. Keenan, would you go ahead? Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.